On this week's episode, we talk about Iron Claw.
And other pop culture news.
We saw Iron Claw this past week, and it was incredible. Like, the trailer did not do it justice at all, which I guess was a good thing. But
yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, incredible, like, powerful, beautifully tragic film. And it was fantastic.
Yeah. If you're a wrestling fan, you might know this story. If you don't, if you're not, you don't. But it was really good.
So this is all based on a true story. It's based on a real family. Von Erich family, who were like prolific family in wrestling. The dad, and then he had all these sons, and they were all great wrestlers. And this is kind of at like the rise of WWE, and they had their own promotion and this whole thing. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily a wrestling movie. Like, that's a big part of it. But really, the film was about like these brothers and their relationships, and their relationship with their dad, and the challenges and tragedies that befall the family, and how they get through it, or maybe how they didn't get through it.
It's called the Iron Claw, which is, you know, is the move that the father created to take the enemies, the adversaries, and it's the Iron Claw, but it's sort of a monkey paw, because there's a curse, and they talk about the curse, and things happen that maybe there was a curse. I don't know. But yeah, it's a tragic story of this family. There was a big, well-rounded family. They worked together. They worked together. Mm-hmm. But circumstances come and destroy the family. The movie is about the journey of one man that try to stick to the values or either lessons that his father taught him, and to the end, among all the adversities, and it was really well done. It was really beautiful. Zac Efron does a terrific job. I don't think I've seen him doing dramas before.
But
he doesn't sing on this one.
There's a cute little dancing moment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't remember
that. At the wedding.
That's true. Yeah. The brothers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were some jokes on Instagram how like through this intense drama. And of course is this his first movie since the accident? So like he's had this jaw. Like, he looks kind of different. He had a lot of his jaw
reconstructed. Wasn't the accident on this movie?
Maybe? No. I don't know. Anyway, he looks kind of different. Like he said, this is kind of a different role for him. It's intense, emotional, dramatic role. But then there's this one little moment where we're like, oh, there's our little High School Musical star. But, yeah, everybody in the cast, really stellar performances. Maura Tierney. There's only a few names that I remember, but Maura Tierney is the mom. Jeremy Allen White, who we already know from The Bear, is a phenomenal actor, and he completely lived up to that here. Zac Efron, Lily Evans.
The Cinderella, is that Lily Evans?
I think so.
See, Pamela Anderson.
Yes. And her name is Pam in this as well.
Yes.
So, and she, yeah. But I'm always very confident about the names until we start recording.
Maybe because of Pamela Anderson, we just saw her, and also because it's based on a life story. We didn't know the story before I saw. Mm-mm. I was like, they find love on a very odd place. They meet on a wrestling that he was wrestling and she was watching, and it's actually not clear if she was watching, because we see her outside.
That's right.
And she goes and flirts with him. Not spoiling again. It's a true story. But and then the things start progressing, and things go. The movie takes several years. the story takes several years. It's not clear. There's not a lot of dating. There's from the beginning, and I think that's it. And you hear from news or on newspapers or events.
Yeah.
So things progress at a normal pace, but in the movie it's kind of like ellipses and cuts. We don't know how fast, but they do get married and they're happy. And because, you know, life of a rock star, you always think that this guy's gonna screw this up and he's gonna hurt her, or yeah, she's gonna screw this up and she's gonna hurt him.
That's definitely the trope.
And but it doesn't quite happen. The it's not about cheating. It's not about sex or infidelity. I mean, sex, drugs or infidelity. It's this guy is going to such a huge trauma. He's such afraid for his family that you're gonna have to see it to understand what I'm talking about. So there's there's love there, and love survive, which is another great thing about this movie.
And I think that's why I feel like it's beautiful and it's worth watching despite like just the level of tragedy and heartbreak. Like it's hard. It's not an easy movie to watch. But yeah, like there's love there. There are beautiful things there, and I'll just tell you this so you can survive the movie. Like it ends really beautifully. I'm using the word beautiful a lot.
Yeah, well,
but it ends well, and it ends in a very hopeful way. I would say, like, if
there's a light finds a way, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
but the journey, it's not easy. It's tough. One thing that I thought was super bizarre about this movie. It's a great movie, great cast, great directing, and the story is beautifully done. They did a couple of changes, because the story is actually more tragic than the movie,
which like blew my mind. When we walked to the theater, he was like looking stuff up and fact checking, and he was like, "It got worse."
Yeah.
Ha.
But the way the story is told is there's such a beautiful maybe there's more than one. There's a beautiful Christian moment there. I was like, oh, that was beautiful. Anyway, it's not gonna tell you what it is. But the most bizarre thing I thought about this movie is it's a true and very American story, and the movie is produced or distributed by BBC.
It's bizarre because it is like such a profoundly American story. Yeah. It's like super American family, an American sport.
And American history, because wrestling, you know, it was this humble thing, you know, in the 70s, in the 80s. And now it's a gigantic industry.
Yeah.
So it's part of American history, at least of American entertainment history or American sports history. It's not going to do air quotes. Anyways, beautifully done, beautifully edited and photographed, and the soundtrack is beautiful, and it's good. It's definitely a contender, no puns intended, to big awards. It has the essence of great movies, you know, Raging Bull, Rocky, The Wrestler, on which Mickey Rourke won, or was nominated, I can't remember, for Best Actor, on a similar tragic wrestling story. It was good.
But the reason, a big part of why I would recommend it to anybody is, like, there's so much more happening than a wrestling story. Like, that's the backdrop, that's the setting, but the story that they're telling there is about like family and grief and trauma and loss and love through all of that. So there's some really like profound and universal themes going on there that transcend all of it. So whether you love wrestling or not, this is a really excellent and important movie to see. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Like the wrestling's fun, and then it even provides like a few moments of like, you know, comedic relief, a couple laughs, a few like,
I think
there's some moments that were very funny.
To provide for their families.
Well, I think professional wrestling, it's a well-made movie and it's fun, but also like it has fun moments that help you survive the rest, and then by the end you'll just be in tears and you just need to see it. And they all deserve awards. Like whatever award they get, like, yep, deserved it.
Yeah, it's well done.
Mm-hmm.
Deserves all the praise.
Mm-hmm.
Movie theater was packed.
Yeah.
Which is always good to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it deserved it. The movie was good. We saw it was a diverse group of people. Of course, there mm-hmm. was a lot of men. There was like two girls by themselves. I guess Zac Efron brings the girls to the theater. Even he looking not as pretty as he used to.
He definitely looks different, but he's still got those blue eyes.
And yeah, no, it was good. We fully mm-hmm. recommend Iron Claw. Mm-hmm. Go see at the theaters. It's the award season coming. This one is definitely a contender.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody does terrific. And yeah,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's it. Anything else?
No, I don't really want to like spoil anything. Just go see it, but prepare yourself because it's an emotionally difficult journey.
Yeah.
But one worth taking.
Yeah. No, it's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, nothing else to say. Just mm-hmm. go see it.
Yep. Okay, total mood shift. We also saw The Family Plan.
Yeah, this is also a family movie, but very, very different. This totally is different. A funny flick, a comedy.
Yeah.
By with Mark Wahlberg mm-hmm. and Michelle. Is that Michelle? Monaghan? Michelle?
Jeez. I don't remember.
Michelle Monaghan? No, it doesn't sound right. Monique Monaghan? That sounds even worse.
It does. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I can't help you except to just say, nope, that was wrong.
That girl from The Walking Dead, that boy that I never seen before, a little mm-hmm. baby, also never seen before. Who's the bad guy? Oh, what's his bucket? Oh, gosh, I know his name. He was in Belfast. He was in Justice League.
Yeah.
Kieran Hines.
Oh, yeah, Ciarán Hinds.
Ciarán Hinds.
Yeah.
That's Well, that's not how
he pronounced. We gotta get into a better habit of, like, looking up everything.
He pronounced his name.
Oh.
Yeah, but sure.
My bad. I'm sorry.
You can do that. And there was
Maggie Q.
Maggie Q. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
it's supposed to be games. And, I mean, not that's it. There's other people there.
Yes, yes.
With lines and without lines.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy that does the Mandalorian, like the guy under the mask,
yeah,
he has mm-hmm. a couple lines there too.
Mm-hmm.
He's what was his name? I mentioned his name.
I don't remember.
No, his name on the movie. He was credited as a tattoo guy or something weird like that.
Yeah. But hey, good for him.
Anyways, Apple Movies produced mm-hmm. and distributed, so it's on Apple TV Plus. This movie is about Mark Wahlberg. The trailer gives you enough. It's funny and fun. It's about this guy that used to be an assassin, but yeah. Now he's a family man. The mm-hmm. fastest, coolest thing he does is changing diapers.
Mm-hmm.
He sells. He's a car salesman.
Yes, certified pre-owned vehicles.
Yes, and married to Michelle Monaghan, and they have a family, and mm-hmm. they live happy.
Teenage daughter about to go to college. Buffalo? Teenage son finding
Buffalo, right?
Yeah, Buffalo, New York. Super like.
Yeah.
Boring, safe, middle class, middle America. Well, maybe not middle America, but whatever. Just like very average, normal, safe. Teenage girl about getting her daughter ready to go to college. Teenage boy trying to just find his way in the world, and then a surprise baby son. And then it's just kind of a. Like, fun vehicle exploring those different family relationships, like, you know, keeping his marriage, you know, alive and intact and interesting, and taking care of the baby, coming to a better understanding with his son, helping his daughter, you know, find herself and, you know, ditch a loser boyfriend and be ready to follow her dreams in college. All this against the backdrop of being pursued by his old team.
Yeah,
assassins.
His past comes to hunt him.
Yeah,
but he mm-hmm. fights back.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny. Very light. PG-13.
Because mm-hmm. it is pretty violent.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, There's not like splashing blood or anything, but
I didn't hear bones cracking or
no. But like, it's quite clear that people die at the hands of our main characters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are a lot of like extended fight scenes. Our daughters liked parts of it, but there were definitely a few moments where like, nope, 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 this is scary. I don't like it. Because the violence is it's like fun action movie violence, but it might be a little much for the younger crowd.
Yeah, but very fun, very mm-hmm. funny. Mark Wahlberg on his journey to make moving away from Hollywood. He moved his entire family
That's
to
right.
What was it? Somewhere, Texas? No, he moved away from mm-hmm. Hollywood, and as Gene Gaffigan said, you're gonna mention the pedophiles. He moved away from those people.
Yeah.
He's gonna try to make movies on his own, and movies more oriented to families. They're mm-hmm. not trying to preach anything. There's nothing woke about this movie. There are very strong female characters. They are realistic. They're mm-hmm. not preachy or uber feminist. There's clearly bad guys. Or are they? You're gonna have to watch. But I guess the bad guys are bad.
Yeah, this is really like convoluted, nuanced villainy.
Even though there's a twist, but yeah, not like Empire Strikes Back, but you have to watch. Anyways, the Family Plan
mm-hmm.
is available. Oh, there's this cool thing. Everybody, it's like glued to their phones. And one of the things, I don't know if this it's on the trailer, but again, this is such a minimum thing, because you know a way to track people is social media, is phones, and he knows that, so I have to get rid of that. So he throws their phones away. So on a way to instead of connect to the electronics, connect to each other, mm-hmm. which is another good message, very simple, yeah. very tiny there, mm-hmm. yeah. But yeah, available.
A little ironic coming from Apple. I'll say it.
Yeah, well, the Apple pays for it. But, they pay for the movie.
Oh, yeah,
Who makes the movies are the filmmakers.
Sure.
But since it was Apple,
all
the phones he throws away are uh-huh. iPhones.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's like watching Bluey and the parents are like, stop watching TV. And I'm like,
Yeah, someone's watched too much Bluey. Anyways, The Family Plan is available on Apple TV Plus.
There you go.
And you should watch it. It's fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg is doing good.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Okay, we also saw the premiere of a new show called Extended Family. This is with John Cryer and Abigail
Spencer.
Yes.
And Donald Faison.
Yes. Thank you. Among
is that how
people. I don't know how he says it because I've only ever just seen it like in the credits for Scrubs.
Okay.
But it's Turk.
Yeah.
He still looks exactly the same, except in this he wears like suits.
No, he looks old and fat.
You think so? But like yeah. he's kind of getting.
He was like a kid in Scrubs. Now yeah. he's
no, but I feel like his face. He still has like the shiny bald head.
Sure. Yeah.
His face looks the same.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyways.
What was the show?
It's called Extended Family.
But where was it?
Oh, NBC.
Oh,
Peacock.
NBC Peacock.
Yeah.
The last time we saw, they had two episodes available there. Mm-hmm. We checked them both, and there's some very funny moments, and there's mm-hmm. some that falls flat.
So flat.
The structure. It's I guess the structure of the interview is just on the pilot, right? They move away from that, which is good because it didn't work. It's like Modern Family, talking heads,
yeah.
But then you realize that it's like mm-hmm. the couple, and then there's someone else, and then you realize that the entire family is there. I don't know. I think it was not only very derivative, but also the way it was written, it was very so not natural. It felt like you were watching a TV show. With Modern Family, they made it was like a mockumentary style, And you're interviewing regular people. So it felt natural. And that's why some things felt hilarious. And,
Yeah,
you know,
and that cast, like, they
like
had
Phil.
chemistry together. They, yeah, keep
Like
going.
Phil was like,
Oh my
I
gosh.
speak like the youth, you know?
Yes.
What the F? What's the fun? LOL. I can't remember,
Yeah.
but it's like, yeah,
Yeah.
there's a
But
pretty
it's
funny movie. Yeah,
on, yeah.
no, Modern Family on its prime, which ended way before the show ends, but on its prime was quite funny.
It is, and so this show, it just, I mean, it's tricky. Like, pilots are often kind of awkward and uncomfortable, especially like if you've like watched other episodes, like later episodes, and then you go back and see the pilot. It's like, oh my gosh, this is, I don't understand how this ever got off the ground. So even understanding that, like, it's gonna take time for the cast to get comfortable with each other, this, for me, it really fell flat. And it's kind of like such a spectacular opposite to what we were just talking about with, like, Iron Claw, that like reaches out on these like deep core human feelings. This one starts off and it just feels weird. And so the premise is like, we've got a divorced couple who's, trying to, but they're still co-parenting 'cause they have young kids, and then bringing in, like, other partners and things like that, which is a really common experience, and co-parenting and all that. And I think I could be there for a story about that. But here they're like talking about how great it is to be divorced, and like how, like,
They had a
they were so
celebrate.
happy.
They
They had a
have a,
celebration of divorce, like an anti-wedding. They wore a wedding dress at a church and they took their rings off. Like, it just felt so
a
strange. And they're trying to
mockery.
force this whole, like, divorce is awesome and we're
Yeah.
so happy now. But then they proceed to show on the show, like, they're not happy, or like, she's happy, but he's just kind of getting used. It's not working. I'm not buying it.
It's a Modern Family. It was called Modern Family because it was different types of family, or what some people call traditional family. Was away from the scope of traditional family. So you had you did have a traditional family, have Phil and whatever her name is,
Claire.
Claire, and then you had a really old guy, a really old white American, and a young
Young
or younger
Colombian.
Latina Colombian, and then you had the gay couple. But even being so different, they were all trying to be a family. Even the gays, even the homosexuals, they were happy together, and they were trying to raising a kid. So as the old couple, the couple with the old man, he already raised adult kids. Now
Yeah.
he's raising
A teenage stepson
in a
and
little,
then later a little guy.
and there's the adoption from so it's they all trying to be a family. On this one, it's first of all rich people problems, because they split, but they kept the house and they share the house, but
But then they each have their own
each
apartments.
own their own
Yeah.
apartments. So it was kind of, the whole dynamic was weird, and to be honest, there was some moments were funny, but even the funny moments were not that funny.
Yeah. So I feel like we're kind of like browbeating the show, but the point is, like, it was felt so scripted, so awkward, so, like, unnatural that even.
Maybe if the pilot wasn't as structured as it was, because the pilot already
Maybe.
felt like it kind of tiresome to see those people saying, "Oh, so we're married. Oh, but we're not married. Oh, we have kids." And it's kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it was different cast, but I feel like, yeah, I don't cry playing a loser again. That goes to events and still. Even napkins.
Yeah. But honestly, like, I felt like his ex-wife was, like, so awful.
She was so awful.
I don't know. I
Like
just didn't
what?
like it. Like, they were just, like, so disrespectful and mean to him, I feel like.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of that, like, I don't know.
I mean,
It wasn't funny enough
it's natural. It's a
to
TV trope
deal with awful
to
people, like.
demasculate a man. In this case, it's a woman and a black man demasculating a white man. So it's like representing all the diversity they could. But besides that, it's like...
Like, okay, so Seinfeld is a show about awful people, but it's very, very funny and very witty. And so, like, you're there for it.
Yeah, but...
This feels like a show where, like, I'm not terribly invested in any of these people, but it's not funny enough to carry me along.
Because, but
Seinfeld... So, like, there's nothing... It's not, like, successful on anyone.
But Seinfeld, there's other thing about it. It's, like, it's people doing awful things that you might do it.
It's yes, it's true. There is that relatability.
You know, there's some little things that like you might do. I'm not gonna do like George and eat from the trash,
right? Or like wrestle a loaf of bread away from an old lady,
right? But I might take a sandwich to bed.
Oh well, that's just self care. That's self care, my love.
What that is. It was pastrami. It was a pastrami.
Yeah.
The most sensual of meats.
It's the most sensual of meats, yes.
Which, by the way, if you're in Utah, it's not a sponsorship. Apollo Burger has a great...
Oh, my gosh.
It's called Utah Burger.
Yep.
With pastrami. Oh, it's good.
It's so good. It is. Yeah, that is... It makes no sense that, like, a pastrami burger would be a Utah specialty, but it is, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it has pastrami bacon. It has all the other things. Yeah. Again, not an endorsement. Unless Apollo wants to endorse us.
If
so
they want to sponsor
us. Call us.
I'm just saying, put pastrami on your burger.
Send some burgers.
He'll be happy about it.
Anyways, so the extended family is the name of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, people are so starving for content that the show made a really good number.
Yeah, the premiere scored 10 million viewers.
Yeah.
Perhaps because of the cast?
I mean, Joan Cryer and Donna Faison. Because the girl, she's pretty. She's been some stuff, but nobody remembers her.
But, I mean, well, yeah. I don't know that she's like an audience grabber, but maybe there are people.
Wasn't she Ted Mosby's wife, girlfriend?
She was a girlfriend.
Yeah. But I think when she was on the show, she was actually dating him.
Oh, really?
What's Ted Siegel? No, Ted Siegel.
Oh,
Jason Segel? No. Yeah. I can't remember. But yeah, I think she was actually, they married. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's not bad. She's just not like, I have to watch that show. That girl was there.
Anyways. Yeah. No, but, she's fine. She was good in Timeless.
Yeah. In Timeless. Yeah, she was the lead.
I feel like she deserves a better script than what she was given here.
But, so Joan Cryer and Faison, because you have the guy from Two and a Half Men, which is kind of, in some moments, you feel like he's playing the same character.
It's definitely kind of this vibe. Like, this guy whose life has been upended by divorce.
And he's living in someone else's house.
And is trying to co-parent, yeah.
Yeah. Unless the kids go crazy yet, they didn't. Sort of. Type of show, the kids are props. They appear like, and it's
you know what? Maybe that's another really frustrating thing. Like, this whole thing is about co-parenting, but we never see the kids.
Yeah. Well.
And when they do, it's like stuff that doesn't make sense at all. Clearly, the show really bugged us.
When
they're like, we're divorcing and our daughter's sad, so we'll buy her a goldfish. Like, yeah, that's going to make a 13-year-old feel better about the dissolution of her nuclear family.
But if you want to watch this show that 10 million people watched, it's available on NBC Peacock. Did they order? Did I put anything about the order more episodes?
Mm-mm.
Or just the viewers?
Yeah.
Okay, so it might not last longer.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be a bad thing.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about happier stuff. Rebel Moon has been doing great. Topped Netflix for the second week at 34 million views.
Yeah.
All of which is richly deserved.
Yes, and there's still more coming.
Yeah.
There's not only the sequel, there's an extended edition coming soon.
Yeah.
Which... that movie was good. Extending, they proved
it's
before.
Not necessary,
Batman v Superman was great, but the extended edition is so much better. It gives us some more depth and some more details.
Yeah.
And anyways.
Yep. And then The Boy and the Heron. This is the Studio Ghibli Miyazaki film. It's been doing so well. He might actually stick around and make another, which makes me feel super validated. And assuming that his retirement was not actually a retirement.
Did he do that before?
I can't remember. But, like, I don't know. I just get the vibe from him. And clearly I was right. Like, he had retired, and then he came out with another movie. Yeah,
well, the movie is a success of public, and is getting awards. We're going to talk about that now a bit.
Yes.
Ines.
But first, a little bit of other news. Let's see. The Last of Us has cast Abby. Do you want to... I feel like this is one that you have strong feelings about.
Yeah, the cast, Caitlin Dever.
Mm-hmm.
That should be, what's the bucket? The
Ellie.
It should be Ellie.
The perfect Ellie.
It should be Ellie.
Caitlin Dever's way older than the character, but she reads as so young.
No. She's not way older than the character because they cast a girl that is way older than the character. So age was not a problem.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want to object, like, that's a reasonable objection, but it doesn't necessarily apply to Caitlin because she does read as much younger.
Yeah.
And anyway.
No, the perfect cast for the show was there was so many options for Joel.
Mm-hmm.
There was Nikolai Coster-Waldau. There was I can't remember his name. The guy that was Sawyer on Lost. Put them a beard, because that was one of the things with Pedro Pascal. The guy cannot grow a beard.
He can't. No, I have to say, I really enjoyed him in the role. I'm not mad about it at all. But it's true. The poor man.
But they have like some drastic changes to the whole thing, to the point that he was like, oh, the moment he was like crying, and like when Joe, he's like really tough. There's some moments of emotion. There's some moments of heavy emotions,
but
especially
I think they
at the end.
Done that with any actor.
But like crying, they changed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Considerably, and then they pick someone, some other girl, to be. Ellie, well, they should do Caitlin Dever. Like, everybody wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to bring her for second season to play a character. It's nothing like her. She will have to basically gain a lot of weight, change drastically. It's like, come on. Sure, we'll see. She's good. She might make a good thing about.
That's true. She's been a highlight of everything we've seen her in.
But,
I think she'll do great with the role.
But yeah.
But we'll all just be thinking, oh, what could have been? Echo has this is a new MCU series, has debuted to the second lowest, like the only show that had a worse debut was Secret Invasion.
And that one that's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Which, even though the show looked quite bad on the trailers, and it turned out to be even worse. It had Samuel Jackson, you know, it's like Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. Maybe now they're gonna fix him. No, they didn't. Spoiler alert, they didn't. So if this show is as bad as Secret Invasion, this show sucks.
They haven't even really marketed it. Literally, the only marketing I've seen for it, I think I saw maybe a few days ago, and it wasn't even marketing. They were just like, "Hey, we've dubbed the whole series in Choctaw because the lead actress, whose name I forget, but the girl playing Echo and the character are Choctaw." Which is cool, but I feel like if you want this to be like meaningful and you want the show to be a success, like maybe tell people about it.
Yeah. Yeah, her name is something like it might sound
it's a
like
cool name.
Alora Cox. Yeah. Alora Cox. I'm not joking.
Okay.
Her name is it sounds super weird. Or maybe I'm thinking of something else. Echo, there you go. Alakwa Cox.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah. See, I'm
you
not
have a
joking.
Dirty mind.
No, it is Alakwa Cox. Which I first time I saw, I was her name is Alakwa Cox.
Alakwa.
I guess she's Native American. No, you said she's.
Yeah, she is. Choctaw.
Oh, the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before I knew that, I saw Cox because the article I was reading was talking about her, and I talk about Charlie Cox, and I was like, oh, wow, they're related. No, they're not related. It's just a stage
just
name.
Just a little coincidence.
They picked, yeah.
Yep.
I guess. Yeah. Anyways, so we
so
didn't see yet.
Out.
We
that
also didn't
great.
See What If yet. We're gonna see both, and we're gonna see what's going on. I heard What If this season was a letdown. First season. For me personally, it was kind of let down because since it was animation, they could do anything. They could bring any character from any universe. They stuck to, you know, some characters that they want to promote.
Yeah.
You know, they want to do other movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been this.
Yeah.
And it was this. Yeah. Which was,
So you're gonna see that, and you're gonna see this one too, because that one was like gonna be their devil. They're gonna be Kingpin, and yeah, it might, you know, Marvel. They put a tease that's hey for something that might never happen or might come and happen, and then they have Jonathan Majors and it's bombed. Anyways.
Oh, so sad. Okay, a couple other quick things before we get to what we really care about tonight, the Golden Globes. So Jon Favreau, it's official. He's directing the Mandalorian and Grogu film, and production is starting this year. And Ahsoka Season 2 is officially in the works, and it's coming from Dave Filoni.
Yeah, which is interesting, because last week what everybody was talking about was that the show might not come to light, might not have a second season, because Rosario Dawson in an interview was asked about second season, and she said, no, nobody talked to me about it, nobody said anything. So the cyberspace, the internet started cogitating and rumoring, and I said, oh wow, this is not gonna happen. But yeah, I don't know if it's damage control or a course correction, an action against the reaction of the public. Disney this week announced that, yeah, there will be a show. Either way, there will be a second season.
Yep. Okay, and then last but not least, Our Flag Means Death has been canceled.
Good.
Which was a good call, because that second season was going nowhere.
Yeah, no, and it was interesting. The show was really funny. The first season was really funny. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
And the ambiguity was part of the very clever, funny part of the show. At the moment, at the end of the show, the end of the season, that when they revealed that he was actually, they both actually were gay, it was like, eh. But that's not only it. The entire second season was about that.
And which, there was no other plot. Like, the first season had, like, good, like, plot points that, like, maintained some tension and made it kind of compelling and kept you going. Like, it was going somewhere. It was moving forward. And all this comedy was happening sort of around it. And that was great. And it was really fun. And this season, there was nothing.
Yeah, it was all...
Like, there's nothing that kept me, like, interested or going. It was still just like, oh, they have... Okay, so again, they're in love, but they're not sure if they can be together.
Yeah.
And that was, like, every episode.
They fight, and then they get back. The guy
just said he was a bird. He is a bird and flies away.
Yeah,
and
that was a nice moment.
That was... I mean, that was nice, but it wasn't, because he was gone. Then he was gone.
Yeah.
And then all the characters... suddenly all the characters are gay. And it was all about that. And again, there was no story. There was a new character that shows up to create a conflict, create a fight, and then dismiss it, right? And so, so it was not a surprise that was canceled. It was... actually expected.
Yep. Oh well. Okay, Golden Globes.
Yeah, so this past week was the something Golden Globes, where the Hollywood Foreign Association, Press Association, meet to give awards to, not to themselves, because they're press, but to the best in TV and in movies. Oppenheimer was definitely the biggest of the night.
Yes,
I'm gonna go through some of the awards for that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, Succession on the TV side, Succession was another big one. But let's go to some. We picked some of the categories of some stuff that we saw. Some of the stuff that even if we didn't see, we want to see. We look forward to see it, and so let's go through it. But before that, the show had Joe Coy as a host, and it was kind of awkward. He bombed. He wasn't booed, but some of his jokes were like, oh,
they just didn't land.
Yeah
I think Steve Martin put out a very diplomatic and kind tweet where he said, like, he did not envy Joe Coy at all. He said, this is a miserable job, and I know because I'm still vomiting from the last time I did it in 2010. And he said, like, Joe Coy, he did it. He, like, he, I don't remember all the words, but basically, like, there were some successes, there's some highs, there's some lows, and he's got 20 minutes of new material for his stand-up.
And one of the things that some jokes that kind of was, like, poking fun of Hollywood and their people, including Taylor Swift. You have two examples on the same show, but comparing to Ricky Gervais that did that and you know, just threw it at them. And they were like, oh.
It was spectacular.
Some people laughed and some people were like, oh, he's really doing it. This one, he was like kind of doing it and apologizing at the same time, which is kind of like,
if you're going to do it, just do it.
Yeah, it's like Jimmy Fallon like laughing at his own jokes. You know, some are funny, and you might laugh with him, and some are like, what an idiot. but in opposition to that, Jim Gaffigan brought some laughs, and he really called it. It's like, hey, I'm from you're probably gonna see it. I'm not gonna tell, but he called them pedophiles to their faces. And
not as many people laughed as probably should have laughed.
Yeah.
I feel like there were way too many people who were like, oh.
Yeah, no, but there was some good laughs.
I'm saying that's not a criticism of Jim Gaffigan. That's just like, I don't know. It just, to me, it read as like maybe he hit a little close to home. Maybe there were too many people who were just still too stressed out about the Epstein papers.
It's funny because it's true. That's why he laughed.
Yeah, but it's true. That's why not enough. Like, some people were just like,
And of course, Will Ferrell and Christian Wiig did some dance funny moves that make the crowds dance.
Yeah.
I guess that's it about the part of presenting the show.
Yeah.
Let's go to some winners.
Yeah. So something I really like about the Golden Globes versus other award shows is the differentiation between like comedies and drama. And even though there's always movies listed as comedies that aren't really comedies, it's still, I still appreciate that they separate that, right? Because a comedy's like never gonna win.
Oh,
an Oscar, you know?
Talking about separation of categories.
Yeah.
They created this category. I was like,
oh, man. Barbie got snubbed so hard.
What's it called?
Best Cinematic and Box Office Achievement.
So they got an award for being a movie that made a lot of money.
Yeah, it was like, hey, a lot of people like that movie. Good job.
But the movie making a lot of money is itself an award. So why are you giving them another one? So, hey, good job for doing a good job. it's kind of funny. But anyways.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the categories that have some more meat to it.
Okay. Best Supporting Actress went to Elizabeth Debicki for The Crown.
Yeah, as Diana, and she was really good.
Yeah, she did a good job. Best Supporting Actor in a Motion Picture went to Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, for Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm.
This was predicted.
And he does it terrifically.
He really does. Devine Joy Randolph, or Devine or Divine?
You have no idea.
Ah, shoot. I hope it's Divine.
She's
because
black.
Because she is Divine.
So she's like Divine.
Anyway, Devine Joy Randolph won Best Supporting Actress for
The Holdovers.
The Holdovers.
Yeah.
Again, well deserved.
Yeah.
If her name isn't pronounced Divine, it should be, because she was lovely in that. Ricky Gervais won for his stand up.
That we saw, and it was quite funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
I don't think it was quite as good as his last one, but anyway, Jeremy Allen White won Best Actor for The Bear.
Yeah. He's the name title.
Yep. And The Bear is another show that did really well.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Ayo Edebiri won Best Actress.
That one for me is not a surprise. I mean, he was good, but I saw him in other things, and he basically plays the same. But again, I'm not saying that's bad.
Trouble Genius.
Yeah. But her, I really likes, like, on the show, because like female characters, I don't know, it might be directing. And it definitely sometimes is writing.
They wrote a good character for her.
She's very real. She's fighting for her place. She's a strong character. and it doesn't feel like she's pushing men out of the way. She's not diminishing anyone, which especially nowadays when they do that.
Yeah, she's a strong female character because she's a strong female character.
Yeah, and you know, especially nowadays, that like for a woman to shine, you have, you know, to destroy the man. And her character was nothing like that. It was sympathetic. It was empathic. It was charming. Yeah. It was funny. It was very interesting. I was rooting for her, and
she stood out entirely on her own merits. Yeah, and yeah, it was awesome. Really, like that show. We were talking about it. I don't remember why, but like, I wouldn't change anything about it. I wouldn't change any casting, any writing. Like, they just, I feel like they just nailed it across the board. It's so good. And it was nice to see the award show reflect that. Nolan won Best Director for Oppenheimer.
And Oppenheimer won Best Movie.
Mm-hmm. Boy and the Heron won Best Animated.
Miyazaki, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see that one. Ludwig Göransson won Best Original Score for Oppenheimer.
And well deserved, because the score helps the movie be the movie it is.
And this guy, like, his career is so bananas. He did New Girl, he did Mandalorian, he did Oppenheimer, and like a ton of other stuff.
Didn't he do Barbie too?
I think he may have. And so seeing that, but I remember I was like rewatching some New Girl and I saw his name. Like, I'm sorry, what? Are you? Anyway, the guy's crazy talented, so I'm really happy to see him win an award. Cillian Murphy won Best Actor for Oppenheimer. And then they won Best Motion Picture. Succession won Best Drama Series. The Bear won Best Comedy or Musical TV Series. Which is like stretching a little bit. Like, it's definitely very funny, but it's a very dramatic comedy, I feel like.
No, he didn't do Barbie. Mm. But he did do Trolls World Tour.
Yeah, what the heck, man?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Of course, he worked with Nolan before. So he did Tenet. He did Black Panther. Yeah, the guy's good.
He's really, yeah. Oh, yeah, Turning Red.
Turning Red. So he does animations too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Seriously. All over the place. And, oh man.
Creed. Venom. Okay, let's not talk about Venom. Okay.
But yeah, just your friendly reminder, the same guy who just won a Golden Globe for the Oppenheimer score also scored New Girl.
Yeah. Well, people have to eat, so.
I know. No, it's not a criticism of him. It's just like, this guy's like bananas.
Have to start somewhere.
Yeah. But man, what a journey. What a journey. Anyway, success. Oh, we already said that. Paul Giamatti won Best Actor.
Did you say Succession?
I think so. They won Best Drama.
Yeah, Succession won Best Drama. And it won some other categories too. We're not going to go into details. But the Culkin kid, Kieran Culkin, I think, who won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Among others.
Yep. Paul Giamatti won Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy for The Holdovers. Again, stellar performance.
The guy is a genius. And so he was recognized. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the director, Alexander Payne, and he said he loved to work with him because, his words, I love to work with him because he's smarter than me. You know, he's so much, you know, maybe it was he being humble, or maybe the guy was really smart and, you know, he learned from it. And it was this really good relationship of him letting being directed, which is some actors don't.
Yeah. But Paul Giamatti is really good at what he does. And he just shone in that movie. It was so good. Holdovers is a very good one that everyone should see. And then, last but not least, Lily Gladstone won Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah. So. What's a bucket? Some of the stuff we're not mentioning, because we didn't see, or we didn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to explore a lot of that.
And it's a huge, long award show.
And eventually we will explore. But Emma Stone won.
That's right. For
Poor Things?
Poor Little Things? Poor Things?
Poor Things.
Yeah.
So Poor Things won several other awards.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, talking about made up category, Disney was celebrating Ms. Marvel winning the motion animated.
That?
Motion and animated is the same thing. They gave a name that is like stupid for a category that is stupid because, well, all the shows had that, you know?
I don't know. And granted, like the little animated bits where I big fan of that in the Marvels and in Miss Marvel, but a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it's like create a category. So, oh, there was this glowing red shirt on that movie. Let's it's like I think it was MTV on their award shows. They had like the best kiss, the best couple.
That's right.
Right. Oh, it feels like that.
It feels like in the rest of development, we were like, we're winning Family of the Year.
Yeah.
And George Michael's like, who would give us that award? We did, of course. Like,
yeah. Anyways, anything else?
No, I think that's a lot.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see The Beekeeper next week, and we're going to bring it more news of entertainment pop culture for you. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.